sure love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember something that Brother Hagin used to say. He said, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's me. Amen. Hallelujah. But I appreciate that very, very warm welcome. And everything that Pastor Dan talked about, it is exactly the same way with Sally and I and all of our children. All of our kids grew up together. And we've been friends a long time, since 1987. And it's been a good run. But how many know we finally got a little bit old enough, God can finally start to use us a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Takes time, don't it? Amen. But I tell you what, we love your pastors and their family so, so much. And we're the same way. When we get to every chance we get to go to Colorado or something, meet up, we always like to go and hang out and ride in the hills and do stuff. And stuff that other people don't want to do because they too sissified. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Everybody don't like the rough country. Amen. But we do. We fit. And we get along good. And he was talking about when we met up, it was no accident that we met. And I tell you what, friendships are for a lifetime. And one of the things that I appreciate about them is they've stayed the course and they've loved God and stayed with what God's told them to do. Amen. And whether we go by the rapture or we go by the grave, something that Brother Hagin, Sister Billy Brim worked for Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin always talked about out of the book of Peter. He said that he might be granted an abundant entrance. And he was very concerned about the type of entrance that he would receive when he got to heaven. And he was so concerned about that. Because before that, it said that many are only concerned about this life because they're short-sighted. In other words, they think that the life for God is basically this one. This basically prepares you. 100,000 years from now, many of you, because of your preparation for earth, will be helping Jesus reign and rule over cities. Amen. Amen. Brother Hagin was so concerned about the type of entrance that he got. So how many of you know that's what I'm after? I'm planning on staying with it down here on earth. Glory to God. I don't want to just barely make it to heaven. I want to be granted abundant entrance. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, smile real big at somebody. Say, I sure am glad to see your smiling face today. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to open them up, if you would, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to take after a subject. It's a subject that when your pastors and Sally and I were together, we were at a Brother Keith Moore meeting, and he began to teach some things, and you know how God will do. Used to, when we go to Winter Bible Seminar, we'd go every February, and we did that from the time we graduated till Brother Hagin went home, and after. But he would teach stuff, and in 1 week's time, what we'd get in 1 week, it'd take me 12 months to teach. Amen. And how many of you know that's what God intends for us? As you come and receive from your pastors, then the pastors, we go, we receive from others, and then all of us have the Holy Ghost teaching us. Amen. But we were at a Brother Keith Moore meeting. He began to teach some things. God sparked some things. But January of this year, we were going to be in Minnesota teaching. They'd ask us to come and do a, starting January 1, and do a 3 or 4 day meeting. And my wife said, honey, I really feel like you're supposed to stay home, do one here. So I called him and I said, we'll put it off for 3-4 days and then I'll come your way. And we were there in Pawnee, and one night there was a supernatural thing happened. We were 3 nights there at the home church. And on the second night, a supernatural thing happened. And in that type of what happened to me, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go to Ephesians 4. And he began to talk to me out of verse 2 about some things about keeping the bond of peace in this, or keeping unity in the bond of peace. And then he said, isn't it interesting that there's 5 ministry gifts listed, and then there's the laity listed. And then he talks about everyone has a supply. He said this year, he said, there's one thing I want you to do. He said, I want you to be so acute to keeping the peace and unity. Because he said, this year, every part of the body will have a piece of the puzzle. And he said, it's going to build a picture concerning 2014. So that's why we started doing what we did last year. And every one, Brother Copeland, Sister Billy, different ones, Pastor Nancy, every one of them has something to bring to this. And how many of you know it is truly a year of the glory?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So we're glad for the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But when Brother Keith was talking about some things, you know how the Holy Ghost will do. He'll just keep adding to it. And every time you preach it, God will give more to you. And most of the time when I'm preaching, if I give an altar call right then, I'll have to answer it myself. Amen. Glory to God. Because how many of you are glad like I am thankful for the Holy Ghost helping us? Amen. So we're going to just get right after it and go as far as we can. And as Pastor Dan talked about it, how many know all of our eyes were on Jesus, right? Glory to God. I can't help you, but thank God, God can. Amen. And then we know God can flow through a man, but God gets all the glory. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it starts off and it says here, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times. If you don't mind, say determine the times, please. And hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. So God set all of this up before your and my time. He said what group. You know, I'm a big Western fan. You know, my wife sometimes will give me tests. And what she'll do is she'll be flipping through the TV and she'll find a Western. And she won't let me look at it. She'll only let me hear a small part and then mute it. She'll tell me, which one is that? And very seldom do I miss. Amen. Especially if it's John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, or Gary Cooper. Amen. I mean, you know, I can just about tell you all. And one time years ago, I thought, you know, I was born in the wrong time. And then this Bible verse come up. How many of you know nobody was born in the wrong time? And nobody was born to the wrong group of people. And nobody was not born in the right place. You know, if you were born here in Illinois, how many of you know God knew exactly what state you'd be born in and what time of this, I can say it, in the age you would be born? And he said he knew it before you and I were born. So it's no accident I was born in Oklahoma. God had me born in Oklahoma for a reason.
Amen.
Amen. He had you born wherever you were born, and he had you born at this time. Can I hear a real good amen?
Amen.
So he says here, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. If you would, please, flip over to Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. And look at this Bible verse, Matthew chapter 22. And it says here in Matthew 22, 14. It says, for many are what? Called, but few are what? How come? Well, there's several reasons. But how many of you agree with me? God has called you. And one of the things that God has really talked to me about this year is he says you have to, well, go over to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. One of the things that he has so talked to me about this year is he said, I am the one that said when you would be born. I am the one that said where you would be born. I am the one that said what group of people you would be born to. And he said the reason of it is you remember in the book of Esther, it talked about for such a time as this, Mordecai said to Esther, for such a time as this art thou come into the kingdom. How many of you know, tell somebody, you were not an accident. Tell somebody if you don't mind, you were God ordained. You know, maybe sometimes parents weren't planning on you coming right then, but how many know you were not an accident?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, Paul writing here to the church at Rome, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. I find that word purpose very interesting. That word purpose means proposal. And that word proposal, when I proposed to my wife Sally, What I did is I made my intentions known. God has revealed or made His intentions known to you and I by His Spirit concerning His call for your life. You were born at the right time, you were born to the right group of people, and you were born in the right state or country. Do you know if you were born in Germany, the things of Germany would be more real to you than over here? And so, I mean, no, we were, most of us here were born in the United States. If you were born somewhere else, how many of you know? We're not saying that you can't hear from God, because how many know God's all over the whole world? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But in that, what I want you to understand is God knows more than you and I do. Amen. And God has a plan for your life. Years ago, Sister Billy was at our church, and because she was Brother Hagin's secretary, she helped write the Word of Faith and then started doing his books and was his personal secretary. And he would come at times, and he would come out of his office. He'd come and sit at her desk, and she said she had learned that when he would do that, she would shut up and she would listen, because usually he wanted to say something or share something. And so her and I were sitting in my office, and I said, "Tell me a story of when perhaps Brother Hagin come into your office." And she was sitting there, and she said, "Have you ever read Ephesians 2:10 out of the Amplified?" And at that time, I hadn't. And she said, "Isn't it interesting that it says God has preordained, predestined, prearranged your life, making paths ahead of time for you, which you should, living the good life, walk in." And she said, "Isn't it interesting that God preordained, predestined your life before you were ever born?" And most of the time, we think when we get to heaven that we'll stand before God. And I know Corinthians talks about we will give an account what we did. But one of the things that Brother Hagin shared with her is he said, one of the things when you stand before Jesus and stand before God, he said, you know, if we could say it this way, a scroll come down, God will look at that scroll. And he said, "That's the plan I made for you before you were ever born. How close to that plan did you get?" And we're going to talk to you a little bit, because God's dealt with me. He said, "I've led you places. I've had you do stuff that you grumbled about." And he said, "There was a purpose for it." You ever wondered why Joseph, got thrown into the pit, and then he was in Potiphar's house and then the prison, and, you know, and the butler and the baker and chief bottle washer and all them, they all didn't help, but all that, you know the story, amen. But you remember, one of the things that's very interesting about Joseph is that when he had the dream, I believe it was a God-given dream, and he saw his brothers kneel before him. How many of you know? I really don't know the attitude that he had when he told his brothers, "All you guys are going to bow down to me." Amen. You know, there was the truth of it, that what he saw ahead of him was right. But how many of you know? There were some attitudes. There were some growing. There were some other things that needed to come out of him, because he was going to be only number two to Pharaoh of the land. And if you got hot attitudes, if you got a little chip on you, if you were a grudge holder, I mean, no, you could snipe some people with some soldiers and nobody would say nothing, because you're number two in the country. Amen. But later in life, after he went through some things and his brothers did come and they knelt down, it was not the same now as it was back there when he had the dream. It didn't mean near as much to him now. Now he was humbled by it. There's some things that God perhaps is going to have us walk through. And the reason of it is he's doing his best to get you and I to the place that he had preordained and predestined before we were ever born. Amen. But it's a good life. It's a good life. The enemy will come in and try to get all kinds of crazy stuff. But I mean, no, it don't matter if we've got off the path. You know, now I have a phone that tells me where to go. I used to have the Garmin. And I called her Heidi. And you know, if you missed a turn, Heidi was always, I was always talking smack to Heidi. Heidi would be telling me something, and I'd tell her, "Shut up. You don't tell me what to do." Amen. My wife does that. Amen. But you know, and all that stuff. But you know, you'd miss a turn, and she'd say, recalculate. And as soon as you can, make a legal U-turn. I said, "I'm going to turn around when I get ready." Amen. But you know, but if on the earth, if we can still make turns and get back, how many of you believe God's smarter than a Garmin? Just because some have got off the path, just because maybe we missed a turn, how many of you know God can still get us to where we need to be? Amen. Glory to God. If you would, go over to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look here, at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, King James says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Well, that's good, but it don't mean much to me. The Amplified brings it out and helps it. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship." Look over at somebody and say, "Do I look good?" Amen. How many know you're God's handiwork? Right? Amen. Some may know beauty's of the heart and on the outside. Amen. All right. And if you're beautiful inside, it really helps on the outside. Amen. Then he said, "Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for who? For us." When did he plan them? Beforehand. When was that? Before your hand grew. Beforehand, foot, leg, arm, beforehand. All right? Amen. Okay? Okay, so that's before we were conceived, right? Okay? So planned beforehand for us, taking pass, he prepared when? Beforehand. In the Amplified, it says ahead of time. Okay? That we should walk in them. Walk in what? The paths he prepared ahead of time. Living the good life. Tell three people, if you don't mind, say, "Living the good life." Tell somebody, "Living the good life." Living the good life. Glory to God. How many of y'all living the good life? Ain't it a good life? Glory to God. Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8, please. So does God want to hurt you? What kind of path God got for you? It's a good one. Living a good life. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, please. Excuse me. It says, in the Amplified, Romans 8, 28, and then we'll read the King James. "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." Now, if you don't mind, in this Bible verse, I used to think that everything that happened to a Christian, God would turn it around and make good out of it. But as I got to looking, God began to talk to me about, and he said, well, he said, "I do have that ability," but he said, "Look at that Bible verse close." And so I did. And so he said, "All things work together for good." And then he said, "Qualify." I said, "Well, I guess for those who love God." What's that? Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, for my commandments are not grievous." What's the commandment to the local church? Who said that? Love. Thank you. See, we don't live by the ten. Remember Matthew 5? Jesus said, "I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law." So how many know we live in the fulfillment of it? Right? So how many know the greatest law we got, what is it?
Love.
Amen. So everybody say, "Love you, man."
Love you.
Amen. Glory to God, or woman, whatever you might be. Amen. Well, in that, we understand then, he said, if you together for the good to those who what?
Love,
love God. Well, how is to say "I love you, Lord" is to love him. But tell me also, what did Jesus say concerning if we love him? What would we do?
Going to
do what he says. So what is the greatest commandment to the church?
Love.
Love. Right. Okay, so there's a qualifier. And then it says to those who are called according to what? And that word purpose again means to propose, like when I did to my wife, ask her to marry me. I made my intentions known. Does God preordain, prearrange, have a plan for your life?
Yes.
Amen. So then, how many of you are glad to know that you and I, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we can find the plan of God for our life?
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
So then, as I head toward the plan, whatever God's plan is for my life, every time I head and I'm headed in the direction for the plan of God for my life, anything the devil does to try to distract me, to try to get me off of the path, how many of you know God said I'm obligated to take everything then and turn it around and make good out of it? But see, you remember when Jonah was headed to Nineveh, where'd God ask him to go? Nineveh, right? But where did Jonah head? Tarshish. See, sometimes people wonder how come they have to keep paying for their own way. God financed a ticket to Nineveh, but then Jonah had to pay for the ticket to Tarshish. Everywhere I go, God takes good care of me because he told me to go.
Yes.
Amen. If I go somewhere God don't tell me, I understand. I got to pay for the ticket and I ought to not be a whiner.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Look at somebody say, I think he's preaching to you by the way you're looking, but I ain't sure. Amen. Now, amen. Amen. So, does God have a purpose for your life?
Yes.
So then, what is that purpose? I don't know. God, you and God should know.
Amen.
Right? So, what if he says, and the name of the church is Renew, right?
Yes.
So, what if God says, I want you to be a member of Renew, and I want you to help there, and da-da-da-da-da. What's your plan for right now? Do what he says. Amen. Be a partner here. Be a member here. Help here. Do what? How many know? That's your plan.
Yes.
Amen. You say, well, is there something else? I have no idea. That's between you and God.
Amen.
But how many of you know, as I'm walking on that path, every time the devil comes, what's God obligated to do? Turn around and make everything work better. Work for good. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. How many of you besides me have done some really stupid stuff before?
Yes.
And I'm sure all of us can raise our hands. Amen. Now, but how many of you like me, God still has redeemed us even in the stupid times? Because we got a merciful Father. Amen. He is good to us. Amen. So then in that, in the purpose, in his proposal, how many of you like me, I want to fit into God's plan. All right? Now, if you don't mind, go over to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And I find this interesting in Job 38. How God answers Job. Amen. Anybody here besides me ever had God kind of talk to you in a you know what I'm talking about kind of a way? Yeah, certain tone of voice. Thank you. Anybody here besides me ever have God do that to you? And you're like, oh, snap, I've ticked God off. Amen. 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 Yeah, I've been there. Amen. All right, now, look at the tone of voice that God says in Job 38. Let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 3. Job 38:3. I'm sorry. Everybody find it? 38:3. Gird up now thy loins like a man. Yeah, he done got God going. Amen. Won't you be a man? Amen. Stand up. Gird up now thy loins like a man. You see it? Is it there? For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He said, you got something to say? Stand up. Be a man. Talk to me. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? If you have any understanding, right now is a good time to speak up. If you know how I hung, what was that planet we was looking at last night?
Jupiter.
Saturn and Mars. If you got any idea, which they didn't have a name of them then, but if you got any idea how I hung Jupiter up there and it stays there, right now, help yourself. Let me know. And so often with our lives, we think we get it all planned and we think we know. How many know God's got a plan before you were even thought about? It is prearranged, predestined, and it is a good life. But you got to find it. Walk with it. So he says to Job, where were you when I was hanging the planets? And if you got any understanding, hello, can I hear? Then he says, verse 5, who laid the measures? Who hath laid the measures thereof? If you know, hello, can you talk to me? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Do you know how all this stuff stays in place, Job? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Job's like, cornerstone? What cornerstone? Can you explain that to me, God, cornerstone? But the reason this was this conversation, there was some stuff going on in Job's life, and he got ticked off. And he's like, God, I just really wonder if you know what's going on. And maybe you ain't said it, but I bet you have thought it. And there's some stuff that God has led my wife and I into. And I'd be like, really, Lord? Why don't you give us to Pastor Dan and Sandy? Or some of my other friends. Bless them with this. I'm pretty sure God won't be like when he talked to Job. Hey, where were you when I did Saturn, Pluto, and Mars, and all them others? You know? And I mean, you know, I really have a hard time even. Last night, he had that GPS thing on a phone or something, and it showed you. And even after it showed me, I still don't know where they are. You know? I'm like, really? Amen. Show me again. What one was that again? He said, that's the North Star. I said, really? Amen. You know, I don't know. And, you know, just because of what we can see, we think that's the end of it. God's word never stopped. Let light be. It's still going. It's still out there. There are other planets. There's other things. There are cities that we will help rule and reign for 100, 200, a million years from now because it never stops when we leave here. Amen. So he said to him, he says, where were you? If you have a quarrel, if you got a quabble, is that right? Quabble? Is that like quabble and fight? Or I don't know. If you got a quarrel with this, if you got a problem with it, right now is a real good time to speak up. Because you remember, I hung the planets and the cornerstone of the earth, the universe, I set. And he's like, cornerstone, cornerstone? See, I used to build fence. And the cornerstone was always the most important. Because it had to be on the proper boundary line. And from there, everything else went. And so he said, I'm the one that set the cornerstone, not on earth, but in the universe. And he said, if you have understanding of this right now, with what I'm doing with you, since you're upset, would really be a good time to talk. And God asks people to do certain things, and they'll be like, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's good for me. Do you really know who set your life? It's God, our Father, the most powerful being that ever was or will ever be. Amen. And how many know he's desiring to get you to a certain place so he can talk to you about some other things? But see, when you ever had a kid, a child, that you want him to do good in sports or music or whatever, and you can so see the potential in him, and you'll be like, well, let's do the lessons, or they're at practice. You know, I can't go to most of my grandkids' practices because when we played and our kids played, we did not play to be playing. We played to win. Amen. That's just how we played. And whatever we needed to do to win, we did. You know, that stuff now about, oh, everybody's a winner. I'm like, whatever, y'all lost. You need to go sit down. Amen. You know, I mean, teach them life's lessons. Amen. You know, tell them it ain't always just going to be wonderful and hunky-dory. They're going to hit some rough spots, but you can still be a winner. Amen. But I go to my grandkids' games, and, you know, they might hit the ball. And they'll be like, and I'll be like, you better run to first base. And you can see the potential in them. Well, how many of you know God will never hurt you? But how many know God sees? He knows what he put in you before you were ever made. And he knows what part of the world he has planned for you to affect. Glory to God. But right now you maybe ain't there, but he's desiring to get you on this path. And the reason of it is so you can get down there to that next place. And when you get down there, he'll be like, yeah, that's my kid. Yeah. So often, God will lead us into some things, and then as soon as we get in, we'll be like, oh, that's hard. That's hard. I don't like this, God. I'm taking my marbles. I'm going home. You know, he'd be like, suck it up, boy, quit. Amen. You don't mind looking at somebody and say, suck it up. If you don't mind. Oh, you better not tell them that yet. We'll get to it. All right, now. So, go to Proverbs chapter 3, please. Glory. Tell somebody, God's smarter than I am. How many of y'all believe that? About half of you. How many of y'all believe God really is smarter than you and me? Does he have a plan for your life?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Is it a good plan?
Yes.
What if you don't think it is?
Yes.
Get over it.
Suck it up.
Suck it up. I'm dealing with somebody that's way smarter than I am.
Amen.
Everything of my future, the only way I can reference that is from previous experience. But God knows my future better than I know my past. And if I've dealt with certain situations, our only reference I have is to go back to what I did back then. And if it didn't work out so good, how many know? That doesn't mean that this next one will be the same way. But see, humans will do that. Oh, that was hard back. I don't know. I don't want to do that. That's hard. I mean, no. Shut up. I'm in a hurry, y'all. I'm no mean to be mean. Amen. But I mean, you know, just this one here, it's going to be better this time. Now, Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not mad at nobody, okay?
No.
Okay, I love you. Appreciate you. Amen. Proverbs 3. See, it's big in me. It's big in me that God's been dealing with me about. So I'm just sharing what he's been talking to me about. Proverbs 3. He said, trust in the Lord with a how?
All
your heart. And do what? Verse 6, please. Tell me that one. How many?
All.
And how many?
All.
All what?
Your ways.
Well, that, how many of you know, if you're going to build a house, is that part of your ways? If you're going to build a business, is that part of your ways? If you're getting ready to enter into a marriage, is that part of your ways?
Yes.
You getting ready to build a garden? Is that part of your ways?
Yes.
How many ways?
All.
How many?
All.
What are we supposed to do?
Acknowledge
him. Or acknowledge the path he has for us. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
Years ago, Brother Hagin, he told this story. Now I'm sure ocean, different things, all the safety stuff they have, they wouldn't allow it. But up at Buffalo, if you've been there at Niagara, there's the Bridal Falls and the Horseshoe, and then there's a smaller one on the Canadian side. And the smaller one on the Canadian side, not the whole Niagara, but a part, years ago, there was a circus going to be, I think, actually in Buffalo. Brother Hagin told this story, and he said for advertisement, because they didn't have, you know, Twitter and Tweeter and all that other stuff like we have now. They had to do the newspaper, and that was about it. But that they were going to do this tent deal like a circus. So he said they advertised man going to walk a tightrope across this horseshoe part, not the big part, but that smaller part, on a tightrope. And then what they're going to do is advertise the tent, I started to say revival, the carnival in the tent and all that, and hand out flyers. So a crowd gathers, and this man takes a wheelbarrow, and he walks across. Brother Hagin told us this story at school. And this man walks across his tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow, and when he does successfully get across, a man in the crowd hollers and says, "I believe you can come back across." And the man said, "If you do, get in the wheelbarrow." Many times we say, "I believe you, God." But then as soon as he leads us this way, we're like, "Can I get out of the wheelbarrow now?" Tell two people, if you don't mind, you can trust God. Tell somebody, you can trust God. Now, let's look at this, verse 5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." If you don't mind, say this with me. This takes time. I remember in 1984, my wife and I came back in fellowship with God. I was not an alcoholic. I didn't have to attend AA. I just was drunk every day. And so, and I was friends with most of the popo. They drove me around. They were in the front and I was in the back. And we were on first name basis. Spent a lot of time in jail, all that, and everything that goes with that kind of life. Got back out of that and went from the beer joints and stuff. Got back in fellowship then to 84 with God. Then in 1986, summer of 86, God says, "I want you to go to Bible school." My wife and I, there was an older gentleman in Davis, Oklahoma. He was a Jewish orphan, and he was sent from overseas to here. And when he got in New York, there was a bunch of them, and he said they had a rope with a name tag, a number. He was put on a train. He ended up in Oklahoma, so he ended up in Davis, Oklahoma, so he had no idea who his mom, his dad, his family. He didn't know, and he was given the name Anderson. And so my wife and I, we became friends with him and his wife. And he was older. He was in his 70s at that time. But because he'd never had kids, plus he was a Jew man, he understood how to make money. And he had all, if you go down I-35 and you get ready to go over the Arbuckle Mountains in Oklahoma, getting ready to go into Texas, all that bottom land in there he owned. And he told me, he took a liking to Sally and I. He said, "I like you, I like how you work, I like you." And he said, "I have no one to leave this to." But he said, "I have $3 million in the bank, I own all of this land." He said, "If you will stay here," this is 84. And 85, or 84 when he made the deal with me when I got off the sauce. He said, "If you'll stay here and take care of me when I get old," he said, "I will give you all of this and all the money." I said, "All right. I mean, I'd just come out and being a drunk." Yep. Sound like a good deal to me. And so I said, "Yes, sir." So he bought us a home and we were paying him back. And Sally and I liked 6 months having this home paid off. And God began to deal with us. He said, "Leave here and go to Rhema." So I went to him and I said, "Nelson," I said, "we're leaving. We're going to Broken Arrow and we're going to Rhema." And he said, "Oh, you can take a trip." And I said, "No, sir, we're moving." And it crushed him. Because people that aren't saved, they don't understand callings and following God. They think, they'll just jump up and leave a church if a job offers them more money somewhere. They have no idea that God, if God didn't say, "I ain't going."
That's right.
Amen. I don't care money or no money. I'm staying where God put me.
Amen.
And so he didn't understand. He became very upset. And he said, "Well, I'll give you 2 weeks to sell it." And he said, "If you don't, everything comes back to me." So the morning came that all we had that we were going to take with us to Broken Arrow was in a horse trailer. That was it. 14-foot horse trailer. And I got my wife and my kids up that morning before the sun ever come up. And we had a swing in our front yard. And so we're sitting out there, and I'm crying. And the reason I'm crying is this is the only home, first home we've ever had. We're only like 6 months having it paid off, and we're going to walk away from it all. And you know why I'm crying? Because I don't know if I can trust God to ever get me another one. See, trust is developed. See, my wife now, 34 years, I mean, when I married her at the beginning, because of some stuff I went through before I married her, there were some struggles in trust. But as we grew together and years went by, how many know a husband and wife? You'll get to a point where you can just trust them with anything and everything. Amen. You trust them. Well, it's the same way with God. When you go through certain things and he gets you out, how many know? You develop a trust. Amen. And the further you go with him, the more, and finally you get to a point where I can trust you with my life. I can trust you with anything I have. Why? Because you know he's not going to back out on you. And he's not going to hurt you. Amen. So we're sitting there in the yard and we're crying. The sun begins to come up over the Arbuckle Mountains. And that's when God gave us the verse out of Mark chapter 10, verse 30. He said, no man hath left house, home, mother, brother, father, lands for my sake, but shall receive in this lifetime 100-fold with persecution. He said, if you'll do this for me, he said, a day will come, you'll have 100-fold. I said, yes, sir, we'll go. But we cried. But you know why I cried? Because I didn't know if I could trust him. But look at somebody say, you can trust him. So whatever plan or path God has for you, how many know you can trust him? You can trust God. But now listen to me. To just say, oh, I believe God. I understand what we mean when we say that. But you got to understand where we were when God said leave. I knew God's God. But I was not at a place yet that I really fully trusted him concerning all of that. 3 million land and homes. But to just walk away. But God said, it's just stuff. But he said, if you follow me, I'll get it back to you. Amen. And he has. And he is. Well, he's working on it. Amen. Well, in that, there has been a bond and there has been such a relationship between me and my father and me and my wife and our father that we know whatever he tells us to do, we're not afraid to do it because you know what? I can trust him. And usually when he asks us to do something, even though it sometimes is a head scratcher, and you'll be like, why are we doing this? In the head, how many of you know there is a purpose that I might not know about? But as I go through that purpose, how many of you know when we get to the other side, we'll be like, oh, now I see. But see, we humans want to see before we go through it. But we are people of faith, right? Thank you for those four amens, one Holy Ghost grunt. I said, we're people of faith, right? Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Now, so here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In how many ways?
All
our ways, acknowledge him. And then what's he going to do?
Yes.
How many of y'all want God to direct your path?
Yes.
Tell me what you must do according to verse 5 and first part of 6 to have God do that.
Trust.
Don't lean. And acknowledge. Is that true?
Yes.
How many ways?
All.
What's that mean?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Business, life, whatever. How many? Buying a car. I acknowledge you, God. Right?
Yes.
Years ago, I had an F-150 Ford, black Ford pickup. And I was driving to church one morning. And I was at 2 Pawnee. I was driving up 9th Street. This pickup, it was fairly new. It was the Lariat package. It was a nice inside truck and everything. And it only had 68,000 miles on it. I mean, just gotten it broke in good. I'm driving up the road. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says, sell this. Trade it now. Trade it now. Well, first, I'm almost audible. He said, trade it now. I'm driving up the road. Well, you know what I do? First thing I do is I look at the mileage. I do. I look at the mileage. It's only got 68,000. Look at the interior. It's like brand new. And I start through all of this stuff. Now, don't laugh at me because I know you've done it too. And we start rationing or leaning to our own understanding. As I'm driving, I said, it's only God. I said it right out loud. It's only got 68,000 miles on it. And da, da, da. And all of a sudden, it wasn't near as sweet in the cab of that truck as it was just a few seconds before. All of a sudden, it was this. Do whatever you want to then. And I'm like, oh no, I have made God mad again. If you ever known what your child should do, but you are no longer in the authority position, you have moved as they've grown older and you've grown older to a advisory position, and you will say, I think you ought to do this, and they'll be like, I don't want to do that, and you'd be like, well, do whatever you want to then. You reckon where you got that from? And we get frustrated with our kids. You reckon God ever got frustrated with us? Look over at somebody and say, probably you, but not me. Amen. 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 So he said, well, just do whatever you want. And I said, God, I'm sorry. Because, see, I'm trying to figure out why in the world I should get rid of a perfectly good truck that I hadn't had very long. Yeah. And so I said, I'm sorry, I repent. And I said, what do you want me to look for? He said, well, what kind do you want? I said, well, I heard there's them Lincoln pickups. He said, look, Monday morning I told my wife, as soon as church was over, I told her what I'd done, what had happened. She said, I'll get online. And she found the one. It was in Wichita, had 1,900 miles. A guy had completely decked it out. It was a $50,000 truck. He wanted $29,000. Traded for it. God said, now you like this better than that other? And I said, you know what? I sure do. It's good. But there was things that he was developing because, folks, listen to me. If you don't mind, go to Exodus 60. What time is it? Is that clock right?
It's all right.
It's the right time.
What time we normally... It's only 10:30?
Yeah, that's
right. Nuh-uh. Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. How am I doing? Doing okay? Exodus 16. Look at two people and tell them, you know what? I'm headed for greatness. In God. Because I'm a path walker. Amen. I'm a path walker. What path? God's path that He planned for me. Don't be concerned. There's nobody in this room that could say, I've always hit it right on. We'll cast the devil out of you. How many of you are glad like I am? God's good.
Yes.
God's merciful.
Yes.
And you know, just because maybe we done this or we done that, I've made some wrong decisions. And one thing my wife never would do is she would never tell me, I tried to tell you. She would always stand beside me. She's a good wife. And we'd just get up and we'd go again. And God would get us back. And He'd get us back where we needed to be. And what I want you to please understand is if this is the year of glory, Sister Billy said it's the year of dawn. Is that the word she uses?
Dawn.
Dawn.
To put on.
Yeah, to put on. Dawn. Put on. God said it's the year of dawn, which means to put on the year of glory, which I believe that. Brother Jerry Savelle in October, his prophecy, if you've read it, that was another piece of the puzzle. Then what God told Brother Copeland, that was a piece. And there's some others that I've gathered some things from. It is truly the year of prosperity and it's a year of glory. Amen. And God began to say, how about you? You want to increase this year? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then what about this path thing? What about me leading you to all these different things I want you to do? When he told us April of last year, he said, I want you to start another church in Texas. Yeah, immediately. You know what I did? And I know this stuff. I know it just like you do. You know what I did? I engaged. I should have shut up. I said, well, you know, Lord, we've been traveling since 92, and we already have this church, and we got that, and that. How many of you know God already knew that before he ever asked me? But we've got to explain why we don't want to do whatever it is he's telling us. May I say, I need to explain. I'm not going to pull you into it. Make you look bad either. But I was like, God, we're doing this, da, da, da. And he said, okay, do whatever you want. And I said, I'm sorry. We'll do what you say. Had no reason, no idea why. But then it's amazing. Almost all of Sally's family in the Piney Woods of Southeast Texas have come and got saved. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I mean, it's just so wonderful. Everything we've touched, God, he said, if you'll do this for me, he said, it'll be wonderful. And we have. Everything he's paid for as we go, it's all paid for. God gave us a brand new building. We're going down next week to start the concrete work. It's wonderful. People are showing up from everywhere. The glory of God's rolling in. And then all the other parts, more meetings we can get to. And then he says, get ready to go to Santa Fe and start another one. And I almost messed up again. I almost said. And he says, I've got a path for you. And he said, I'd like to tell you all of it. But he said, I can't because it's a walk of faith. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose for your life. God ordained purpose. Amen. Amen. So, in Exodus chapter 16, he says this here. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may do what? Test them. Thank you. Whether they will walk in my law or what? Or not. What was the purpose of the test? Thank you. Thank you. That's correct. See if they'll follow instructions. See if they'll do it or not. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now listen. We know if you jump over to verse 26 and 27, it says God gave him further instruction. He said, go out and gather enough, just your family. You know, I think it was before the sun got up real high. As the sun got up, the manna would kind of dissolve and stuff, go away. But he said, gather enough for your family. But he said, before the Sabbath, he said, gather how much?
Double.
Why? Because on Sabbath, don't go out there. But all of you have read verse 27. On the Sabbath day, there's a whole group of them. They're out there like, what are we going to do? There ain't no manna. And they get to griping about it. There ain't no manna out here. Right?
Yes.
Now listen to me. We read these stories and we're like, what was wrong with them people? But in 1 Corinthians 10, it says these things were written for our admonition and for our example. Those people that were out there on that Sabbath looking for food, the worst it can be is they're going to miss a meal. That's it. But it's going to get more serious than that. You ever had God? I travel a lot. I like to personally drive. And I'll run the interstates in the United States and be going. I'll be going, especially I go a lot to the West Coast. I spend a lot of time out that way. And most of my cars, if you just point them that direction, they know where to go. Amen. But I'll go out that way, and there's been places I've stopped over the years, and I know them all basically where I normally stop. But I always, as I'm traveling, I can't tell you how many times over the years, pull into a station, a Flying J or a Love's or something where I normally stop, and get ready to pull in. And in here, the Holy Ghost says, don't. Not tonight. Don't. And there's a reason for it. I usually used to, I'd say, you know, I'd look around and I'd be like, well, it looks okay. But I've learned there's a reason. And as we completely fine tune that, because see, that's why Proverbs says all your ways, not spiritual things only, all your ways. Acknowledge him and learn to trust him. I remember telling my kids certain things, and they were taught they did not have the right to ask why. That was not an option. They learned, you know, after a while, why was a bad word at that particular time. I say, you go do this. And they did not have the option saying why. There were times I would explain, you know, but usually I didn't. I don't have to. Because I have your interest at heart. And I know more than you do. And I don't have to explain. We've got to come to a point that we so trust God with our lives. That if he says, stop now, he don't have to go into a 20-minute conversation over why. pull the car over and stop. If he says, buy that. Well, God, I don't know. I need to call the accountant and I need to check the checkbook. How many know? Buy it. You don't need to know why. He'll reveal it later, and later people will be like, man, you're pretty smart. You'd be like, yeah, I know. You should be like, yeah, God is.
That's right.
Because I struggled to buy it when he said buy it. See, there are things that God wants to tell to you. And oh, there's so much. But we'll get into it all. Amen. We'll get into it all. Amen. Glory to God. I'll close out with this. In Exodus here, when he told them, do this, do this, do this, in verse 4, what did he say? He said, that I may prove them. Everybody say, test.
Yes.
Will God ever test your eye with evil?
No.
James 1:13, what's it say? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God with evil, for God tempteth not with evil. Right? It'll be up here in a minute. James 1:13, there it is. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Does God ever use evil to tempt a man or a woman?
No.
Qualify evil. Well, evil. Sickness, disease, lack, anything you or I are redeemed from will qualify as evil. Right? So will God ever use sickness to test you?
No.
See, years ago in the group I was grew up in as a kid, we were taught God would. But then as revelation come, how many of you glad that bird won't fly no more?
Amen.
Amen. We know better than that. And so in that, God will never test you or I with evil. But will God test us with test of obedience?
Yes.
Why? There's a purpose. He's endeavoring to get you to a certain place. Especially often, there will be glimpses of your future. There will be glimpses. And I'll close with this statement. Brother Hagin was at Buffalo, New York years and years ago. At that time, it was just him and Sister Retha. He didn't have a group singing that traveled with him. And so he said they did the book table. They did it all. And he was carrying in the last box of books. And he said he realized he was becoming very sick. So he said he positioned himself where if he fainted, he would fall across the bed. He did fall across the bed. Sister Retha came, said some things. Then God said some things to him. And he said, close out this meeting, go back to Tulsa. And he said, teach on this particular subject. And he said, I'll take care of that tumor, that knot that's on Sister Retha's breast. And I'll do this. And this is what he said to him. He said, and the anointing. Now catch it. And the anointing that you've experienced four times in the last 20 years will now come upon you to abide. God will let you taste your future. I've been in meetings before. The other day we were in one in San Francisco. The glory of God will roll in such a way. We were one in Merced. We just couldn't hardly stand. And I'll be like, oh, Lord, I want this. And he says, this is in your future. In 1993, we were in a church in Silsbee, Texas, and there were guest ministers there, and I was ministering, and there were angels that began. I turned, and it looked, have you ever seen Rhett Butler? What is it on, what's that movie? Gone with the Wind, and that mansion. There's this giant staircase at the top, but it comes with these winding staircases down like that. I turned, and out of heaven was two winding staircases. And angels in white robes came, and they were singing as they come down. And I fell, and some ministers that were there gathered me up, and they couldn't hardly stand. And people started running to the front, and as they'd get 12, 14 feet away, they'd fall, and they'd just pile up on each other. So they dragged me. My feet was dragging. They dragged me over here, and people come, they fall. And I said to the Lord, I said, how do we get that all the time? What was that? He said, that's in your future. But he said, that's on the path, my path, that you've got to walk. There are things God's revealed to you. There's things God's promised to you. And how many of you know he is not a promise breaker? How many know he will keep his word? But he needs you and I to cooperate with him, because we will get to where he's told us to go as we follow him. Amen? We'll get there. So he said to Brother Hagin, the anointing that has come upon you the last four times in the last 20 years will come and abide. I found that so interesting that only four times in 20 years he had tasted it. You ever been in a meeting or ever done something and the power of God be so strong or something come on and you be like, how do we get that back? Usually that's in your future. And he's letting you taste of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. I tell you, the presence of God's in here. God is good to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Whew. Glory. Well, let's say this together if you'd like to. Father, I thank you for your path. And I thank you for your plan for my life. I acknowledge you in all my ways. And I'm learning to trust you. I do trust you where I am now. But I know my trust level will develop. I trust you. I trust you. Glory to God forevermore. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Glory to God. We do trust you, Lord. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. And Father, there's no one here that's thinking about anybody else. We're thinking about our own lives. And in that, we understand that there perhaps have been some things you've asked us. And it perhaps would stretch us. That's why Paul talked about the stretching. But we know in the stretching that you'll never pull us beyond the measure of faith that we presently walk in. And then as we grow and we develop and we say, I can trust you, Lord. That's why so often in the old covenant, they would say, you are the God of Moses. You are the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What they were doing is they were reminding themselves who you were and that you could be trusted. But it's good to know that they trusted you, but it's sure good to know I can trust you. I can trust you. The path you have chose for us, oh, what a good path. Glory to God forever. We worship and praise and magnify you in the mighty, majestic name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stand, if you would. We thank you. We thank you so much for helping us. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Holy Spirit, thank you, sir. Leading, guiding, directing, teaching, strengthening, standing by. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Glory to God forever.